Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
I'm entitled the message this morning, Why in This World I Should Be Thankful. Why in this world should I be thankful? You ever wonder that from time to time? Why I should be thankful? You know, there's some days that are pretty easy to be thankful, and then there's other days it's a lot of work to be thankful, isn't it? It can be. If we're honest with ourselves. Now, often I'll have a message and get it all lined up, and God, it's probably not God that tests me, it's probably Satan that tests me in this. And so I had this message prepared, and I woke up yesterday, totally forgot about what I was going to be speaking on, and God tested me on it, didn't he? Yeah, my wife smiles. But I woke up, my right shoulder had been giving me problems the last couple weeks, and I'd been a little bit lax getting to the gym, and so I got back and tried to just do low impact stuff and just some shoulders and working on that and other things, and didn't feel too bad Friday. And I woke up Saturday morning, had this long list of stuff I wanted to get done, felt I needed to get done, and I woke up and it's kind of like, oh, it felt like somebody stuck a knife right behind my left shoulder. It was just killing me. So I had all this stuff to do, and I had this pretty significant pain in my back. So I had my wife try to massage it out a little bit, took some ibuprofen and put the heat pack on, and eventually got better and was able to get my stuff done. But my wife kind of recognized it at the beginning there that she goes, you know, it'll be okay, and everything will work out. And she kind of walked me through it, so she helped me out. So, marry well, that's all I can say, marry up and marry well, and that'll help you out. But it kind of deals with this, why in this world, why should I be thankful? You know, there are a lot of problems in our world, isn't there, right now? I don't know what your life looks like, but we have the fiscal cliff that's looming on the horizon, right? And the news wants you to get all worked up about it, and who knows, we may end up paying more taxes, may not. But that is kind of looming out there. And winter, allergies, those are always good things. We also have, just what's happening in our world. If you've been watching the news just with Israel and the Middle East there, there's a lot happening there. So do I have any depressed yet? I can keep going. All right. There was two hunters. You know, hunting season was this past week for rifle, but there's two hunters from Nebraska, and they got into a pasture, and they're working their way, going to walk some trees out in this pasture. And what they didn't realize is there was a big bull that was in there that the farmer had let loose. And they were making this way to those trees, and all of a sudden they saw the bull, and the bull saw them. And so they started breaking back to the fence, and they were running with, you know, all their stuff and their guns and running to the fence. I don't know if they took time to unload it or not and be safe. But anyway, they're running to the fence, but the bull was gaining ground, okay, and closing fast. And the guy says, you need to pray. The other guy says, I don't know how to pray. He says, well, you better think of a prayer awful fast. You need to pray. He goes, well, I only know one prayer. And he says, well, you better pray it. And he says, all right, I'll pray it because this bull's catching up to us. And he said, just so I don't get it right here. He says, okay, I'll pray quick. And so the man prays, says, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly grateful. You ever prayed that prayer? For what we're about to receive, make us grateful. You know, with all the bad in the world, there is a reason to be thankful. I want to discuss some of those. Why in this world should we be thankful? First of all, because Thanksgiving creates a positive attitude in our life. Okay, and those are in your notes there. Thanksgiving creates a positive attitude in my life. And I've noticed in my own life that there's been times and seasons in my life where I can get ungrateful. Okay? And for various reasons. Maybe the bills have come, car repairs have been a little bit higher than, sometimes you just get, it's not just that you get one bill, that you just get two of them, Sometimes that happens. It can be various things, health issues, relationship problems. And a lot of times problems don't come just in, you know, one at a time. They come in pairs or in triplets, okay? They just kind of show up at your doorstep and say, here we are. And so we have to determine how we're going to deal with them. But what I've learned is that Thanksgiving creates a positive attitude. And if I go back and look and say, why am I in this state of kind of being unthankful or just saying, man, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. I've learned that if I go back and look, I realize, you know what, I haven't taken much time just to be thankful for the things I do have. To be thankful for the health, the relationships that are in my life. To be thankful for what I do have. Okay, and when I come back to that and realize, you know what, I do have a lot to be thankful for, then it changes my attitude and affects my attitude. But many times we focus on the things that we don't have or the things that are wrong, and then all of a sudden our attitude is in the gutter and we're all depressed. We're in the Mully Grums. I don't know what, you know what the Mully Grums are? I don't know. I'm going to have to find out what that is. There's a story behind there someplace. Probably came back from way back when, but we have to find that one out. Somebody can Google it here, okay? All right. So it creates a positive attitude when we are thankful. Paul says in Thessalonians 5:18, 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will that you be thankful. And many of the passages in Scripture that deal with thanksgiving don't follow real exciting experiences. They happen through just everyday life. It is something that we are supposed to have as part of our daily life to be thankful. And as we are thankful, you're going to find out it affects your attitude. One of the greatest stories in the New Testament is about Paul and Silas. It's on Paul's second missionary journey. It's found in the book of Acts. But they're in the city of Philippi, and they're doing some great things there. They're preaching the gospel. And they even take time to pray for a lady that is influenced by demonic activity. In fact, the demons give her the ability to tell the future, okay? And which made her owners a lot of money. Well, Paul recognized and prayed for her. She's set free from the demons, from the demonic oppression. All right? Good thing, right? Lady's happy. Everybody was happy except for who? The owners of the lady, right? The slave owners. They weren't happy because they lost their source of income. And so they got the legal authorities involved and got everybody upset. Next thing you know, Paul and Silas are in a jail. They're in shackles, bound. They've been beaten, all because they did something that was good. And they could have been there depressed, and they could have been mad at God. They could have been mad at the authorities, at injustice. They had a lot to complain about, but what did they do that night? It says that they praised God, and they sang songs. And as they did, God did something pretty miraculous. He shook the prison. Their shackles came off. And through that, the jailer is saved, not only him, but his whole family. And God totally reversed the situation. But it came through their praise and their thanksgiving. So thanksgiving affects our attitude. But secondly, thanksgiving affects our behavior. Kind of as it affects our attitude, it also affects our performance and our behavior. If our attitude isn't right, I can guarantee you that your performance and your work ethic is not going to be that good either. I mean, we can tell when people aren't working at it with all their heart, right? When they're doing a job what they don't like to do, we can tell that. I always kind of, when I go through the checkout line, whether it's at Walmart or wherever I'm at, I always kind of survey the checkers, and I find one that at least has a smile on their face, because I don't like getting stuck with cranky checkout people, so... I look for one that has a smile on their face, and because you can tell if their attitude is right or not by their outlook and their smile on their face and how they do their work. And so maintaining a good attitude and gratitude in our heart will affect your performance. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these main first couple points. Thirdly, thanksgiving affects your emotional health. And we've been talking about that in our series. But as our attitude is right, and it'll affect also our emotional health, okay? How we're feeling on the inside when our attitude is right. And it's going to affect your physical health as well. Paul says in Philippians, okay, he's writing to the people where he was put in jail in Philippi. He says, do not be anxious about anything, And Paul had been in some anxious situations, a shipwreck, being stoned with rocks, okay, and left for dead. He'd been in some pretty anxious situations. When we did the study in Acts this summer, it was amazing over and over again how many times that Paul had to flee for his life from city to city. He had some pretty anxious moments. But he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we can get anxious. We can get all worked up on the inside. But if we can go to God with prayer and thanksgiving, okay, that God will protect our heart and our mind with His peace, to let the peace of Christ rule and reign in our heart. So it affects your emotional health, right? All right. So that is why we should be, why in this world we should be thankful. I want to deal a little bit more with how can we be. You know, it's one thing to know why we should be. It's quite the other thing to actually do it, right? How can we be? Many times we can struggle with it. It's not that we don't know what to do. It's just... Am I still good? There I am. Okay. Been having problems with this switch here. So, all right. So how can we be thankful? Just like yesterday, you know, the day got started and I had all these things going and it didn't help that I had this pain in my back, okay? It's still there a little bit, but it's doing a lot better. You have to work through that. So how can we be thankful? What are some steps that we can put into place? Now, Psalms 100 helps us out in this. A Psalm of David. David definitely was a great man, not a perfect man, but he knew how to praise God. His life was not without, it had some great victories, some great high moments, but it also had some very low moments in his life. But in all this, David learned how to be thankful and how to praise God, how to rise above difficult circumstances in his own life. And so in Psalms 100, I think we see some keys of how we can be thankful in this world. How in this world we can be thankful. So let's read that together. He says, shout unto the Lord, all the earth. Shout for joy. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I believe there's some keys that we can really look at here that can help us in how we can be thankful. The first one that I see is choose to be thankful. Thanksgiving's a choice, isn't it? If you wait for the moment to where you feel to be thankful, those moments come and go. But Thanksgiving really is a choice in our own life. Just like yesterday, I had to choose to do the right thing and to thank God, even though I had a pain in my back. Okay. Thanksgiving's a choice. And many times we have to will to praise God, to be thankful. It has to be a discipline within our own lives, and it has to be a choice. And as we move into that, then the feelings follow after. But it has to be something that we decide to do. And psychiatrists will tell us that that is true. That our attitude, being a positive attitude, and even just thanksgiving, all those stem from doing what is right and making that decision to do that. And all these verbs in these verses here talk about this. He says, shout. He says, worship. He says, come. He says, no. He says, enter. Those are all imperatives, okay, what we call imperatives in the English language, okay? Now, they're not subjective, okay? In other words, you really should think about worshiping the Lord. You really should think about shouting for joy, okay? But these words are all more of a command, okay? That's what it means, an imperative, okay? If Dave is in drills and stuff and his commander says, do this, or he tells one of the people under him to do that, they don't say, well, maybe I'll think about it, or maybe tomorrow. They do it, right?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's a command. It's a command. It's not something that we're thinking about or is subject to how we are feeling. It's something that we are supposed to do out of our will. Shout unto the God. Worship the Lord with gladness. Know the Lord. Enter His gates. Those are decision of the will. It's a choice within our own life. So let's go a little bit deeper into these. He says to shout unto God. Now last week we practiced that, right? We practiced what it means to shout unto God. You guys still there? All right. You want to give it one shot? Okay, we're going to shout our shout. We're going to do it one more time. We're going to shout praise the Lord, all right? So if you weren't here last week, you missed out, but we had a contest last week about shouting unto God, and we had split the church in the middle. We had a church split, okay, right down the middle, all right? And it was a tie, I guess, so they did a pretty good job. But so on the count of three, we're going to say praise the Lord, all right? And we're going to see if you guys have lost anything from last week, okay? All right, this is you have full approval just to shout at the top of your lungs, okay? And if your neighbor doesn't do that, you have the right to elbow him, okay? All right? All right? So one, two, three. Praise the Lord! All right. Mary, I heard you over there. You won. It was you or Barb. I don't know. You put you two together there. We had some pretty good. All right. Don't want you at their football games, huh? All right. Shout unto God. It's a way that we worship God and to come before Him. He also says to worship the Lord, and some translations actually say serve. Any of your translations have served the Lord with gladness? In the Hebrew, to worship and to serve are very, those words can be interchanged. Okay? They're actually the same word in the Hebrew, but we translate them to worship or to serve. And they saw service as worship unto God. Okay? They saw their service, what they did, as worship unto God. And we talked about that last week in Made to Worship, how God has made us to worship. Romans 12:1, which we referred to last week, says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of what God has done, of His mercy, His grace, the salvation He has given to us, offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God. Your service, what you do, it is holy and pleasing to God, and it is your spiritual act of worship. Serve and worship the Lord with gladness. Not when you always feel like it, but make it part of your daily life and make it a choice in your own life to worship the Lord when you feel like it and even when you don't. Come before Him with joyful songs. You know, don't come before Him with a dirge or the blues or country songs, you know, that talk about all the bad things that have happened. She broke up with me again. And, don't come with There are a few country songs that aren't too bad. But come before Him with joyful songs and to worship Him and thank Him and praise Him. Joy and gladness, it talks about joy and gladness there. In the Hebrew, those words really convey the thrill of liberation, of being set free, of worshiping God for what He has done in our lives. To give Him that joy and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a choice. And we come before Him. So that is one way how we can be in this world, can we be thankful? First of all, we need to make it a choice within our life. Make it a daily discipline just to come before Him. And I think it goes down into here, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. When we come before God in our daily time, maybe reading Scripture and come before Him with our prayers, don't just kind of just, you know, you ever had kids just bust in the door? They about break the door off and they say, Mom, I need this, or Dad, I need this, right? Kind of like, okay, give me a little warm-up time here, okay? Hi, how are you doing? Hey, Mom or Dad, could I have the keys to the car or have 20 bucks? But, you know, sometimes it's just boom, just through the door and there they are. And, you know, many times we come before God like that, right? We come before God and say, you know, we just forget all who He is and what He's done. And we just say, God, I need 20 bucks, you know. He says to come into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Come before Him with thanksgiving, thanking Him for what He has done, who He is. And then as you've praised him, then say, God, this is what's on my heart today. All right? I think the psalmist is helping us out here. All right. Secondly, thank God. Thank and praise God for who he is. I think the word that we really call this is praise. When we thank God for who he is and worship him for who he is, that is, to me, is what praise is. Praise and worship. Okay? And to praise God for who he is. And many times we want to praise God for what? For what he has done, right? Yeah, and he should be. But just because of who God is, he is to be praised just for who he is. And in our passage here, he says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Verse 3, know that the Lord is God. Now, that word know means to know at a personal level, at a relationship level. And so I could say, I know of President Obama. And then I could say, I know such and such of a person. I've actually been introduced to them. Okay? Now, whether they know me and I know them at any level beyond that really isn't knowing a person. But to know a person in this sense is to say, you know what, I have a relationship with them. We talk, we dialogue, we know a little bit about each other. It's that experiential side of knowing somebody at that level, of a relationship level. And what the psalmist says is, know the Lord. Have a relationship with God. Have dialogue and fellowship with God. And know him at that level and worship him for who he is. Worship God for who he is. Now, Jeremiah has a book after his name, okay? He's a prophet, and his book is considered one of the major prophets, him and Isaiah, all right? But Isaiah was a prophet, and like many of the prophets, they did not have the easiest life, okay? God had given them a message that they were to give to the people, okay, the people of Israel, but often the people were not receptive to the message that they had. And often the message was, you know, get right with God or God's going to bring judgment. And that's not what kings were wanting to hear. That's not what the people were wanting to hear. And so a lot of times they mistreated the prophets. And Jeremiah, for doing what God had called him to do, kind of had a rough life. One time he's thrown into a pit and left there for many days. And he was probably taken off into captivity towards the end of his life. He goes, man, if I could just abandon this message that God has given me and walk away from it, I would. But he goes, it's like a fire that is shut up inside of me in my bones, and I have to proclaim what God has called me to do. But he says this in Lamentations. Lamentations is another book that includes some of his writings. And a lament is what? It's kind of a sad story or a song of what we're kind of pouring out our heart and our. It's kind of sorrowful, isn't it? Okay? And so Lamentations is like that. And this is what Jeremiah says. He says, I remember my affliction, chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall that has come with what my life has contained up to this point. I remember them and my soul is downcast. It's depressed. Okay? Yet I call to mind and therefore I have hope because of the Lord's Yahweh's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I will say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is my portion, therefore I'll wait for him. Jeremiah says, you know what? Life hasn't been real good right now. And I've been doing what God has called me to do. I have a lot to complain about, but because of the Lord's great faithfulness, because of who he is and what he has done, his mercies are new every morning. It's not great. Life isn't great right now, but his mercies and his grace overcome all that has happened. It's greater than all the pain and the gall that is there. His mercies and compassion are greater yet. I'm not consumed. And his faithfulness is there. And I'll wait for God, for he is my portion. Even in that state, Jeremiah praised God for who he is and what he had done. Praise God for who he is. But thirdly, thank and praise God for what he has done. The psalmist does not spend a lot of time on this point, but throughout the Psalms you'll see where God, praising God for his acts of greatness. And verse 5 says, praise him for his faithfulness. Faithfulness means that God has been there day in and day out, and through the ups and downs of life, God has been faithful, right? Praise him for what he has done. Praise him for what he has done. His acts of goodness. And what amazes me is when you look at the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament, is that God could have just done something truly miraculous and great, and just a couple days later, they're upset with God. Remember when God brings them out of Egypt, they were there 400 years, and things, eventually a Pharaoh became Pharaoh, and he didn't remember what Joseph had done for Egypt, okay? Joseph had been second in command there, but 400 years had passed, and now they didn't remember who Joseph was. And they began to enslave the Israelite people there who had grown into the millions at that point. And so we have the 10 plagues that take place, and eventually God brings them out of Egypt, and they cross the Red Sea, which is a pretty incredible thing. The waters parted, they crossed on dry land, and just as the Egyptians got there, as they were trying to follow them, waters closed, they're swept away. You can watch it in the movie Ten Commandments, all right? All right. And God does a truly incredible thing. So, you have this great miracle. They got to experience the mighty hand of God. You think, man, those people would be eternally grateful and thankful, right? Well, they get out into the wilderness, and they don't have meat with their manna, and so they're upset, saying, man, we don't have meat. We've gone a couple weeks now without our meat and our steak. They start to murmur and complain. And so God did provide them some quail, but then he was pretty upset with them. But see, they forgot so quickly the faithfulness of God and the mighty works of God. So quickly. And I think we can do that in our own lives as well. We can be hard on the Israelite people, but how often something happens and we say, God, you know, we start complaining, we start murmuring, and questioning the faithfulness of God. And yet, when you look back and just see how God has been faithful, we have a lot to be thankful for. A couple weeks ago, we had Dr. Alexander with us, the president at Trinity Bible College, and I had him speak to the rest of our ministers in our section on Monday, that following Monday. And he shared with us that morning something he didn't share with us, and that when he was, prior to coming to Trinity, he just moved there this summer. But prior to that, they were the presidents of a Bible college, the largest Assembly of God Bible college in the UK. And while they were there, he went in for this routine exam. And I think he maybe referred to that when he was with us. But he had an aneurysm right above his heart, the main artery that goes out of his heart. It feeds your brain and other vital parts of your body. And Tessa could probably help us out more with that. But it's just that major artery that was coming there, and it had ballooned. It was large, and they said, you know, it could go at any moment, at any minute. And in the UK, they have more of a socialistic approach to government healthcare. It's government healthcare, so it took him 9 months before he actually got in for this urgent operation. 9 months. They got him in, but in order to do that, they actually... He thought it was just going to be this minor surgery in and out. You know, he was talking to some of the people and says, yeah, mine's a 2-hour operation. Mine's a 3-hour operation. He says, I think mine's just going to be a couple hours, an hour, and I'll be in and out. And as he met with the physician, he found out, you know what, this isn't just a minor thing. It's going to like a 20-hour operation where they had to open him up. They had to pull a vein or artery out of his arm, out of his shoulder. And then after they did that, then they had to pack his body in ice and drop his body temperature down to a real low temperature, and they actually shut him down. For four or five minutes, they'd actually shut him down and stop his heart and take out that bad section of artery, put in the new section, and start him all back up again. And it's kind of like after he heard that, he's going, oh, my goodness, this is a pretty major thing. And so he had the operation. He says, you know, I remember my wife driving me home from the hospital. She came and picked me up, and I was sitting in the back seat. And he goes, he realized, you know, he goes, I saw my wife, and I was alive. And he goes, I was just so grateful. I was just so thankful just to be alive and to have my wife there and just the people in my life that I love. And he says, as I live each day now, he goes, whether I'm speaking to a few people or to a lot or whatever the case may be, he goes, I'm just so thankful to have the opportunity to speak and to live one more day. You know, and so many times we get that tunnel vision in our lives. And we just forget to be thankful for sometimes the small things. The people in our life that have been so precious in our life, family and friends. Just for the faithfulness of God and for who He is. To thank Him. You know, and the pilgrims, I'm going to have the musicians come. The pilgrims, it's out of their story that we have what we call our Thanksgiving now. It became a national holiday. But that first year was pretty brutal for them, especially that first winter. They lost a lot of people to sickness and disease. They didn't know a lot about the land and some of the risks that came with it. They were ill-prepared going into that first winter. And in the next year or two, they would learn from the Indians and became better prepared, adapted to the land. And so they had that first Thanksgiving after a very difficult time in life. But they now had a reason to really be thankful. They realized, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for all that has happened. There was a lot of bad that had happened, but now they were thankful for what they had learned and their experience. And Thanksgiving is a great day of fellowship, time being together with family. Sometimes that's always a good thing. Sometimes it brings with it its hurdles and issues too, doesn't it? But what are you thankful for this morning? We're going to close with this song that's by Matt Redman. It just says 10,000 reasons that we can bless and thank the Lord. This is just one time that we can thank the Lord and bless Him. But in order for Thanksgiving to be part of our life, it's something that we have to do day in and day out. Whether we feel like it or not, you know, maybe it's one of those things where we put sticky notes on the fridge. We eat probably, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day? Put a sticky note there and say, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. But to remind yourself just to that mental note, put it on the bathroom mirror. Praise the Lord. Maybe praise the Lord. Be thankful. To remind yourself to just be thankful. And then note how it changes your attitude. Instead of focusing on the things, oh, I can't buy this, can't buy that, can't have this, can't have that, or I have this bill to pay, or I have this thing. Instead of focusing on that, you think on the positive things and the good things, who God is, what He has done in His faithfulness. And then all of a sudden, you become a little more thankful. You're thankful that you're alive. You're thankful that you're saved, that God's forgiven your sin. You're thankful for the family, the friends you have, for the good things. Amen? Stand this morning.